Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, the only person on the planet who talks to small business owners 5 days a week. Leo Hendry is our new friend, folks. Leo Hendry Jr. is one of the most successful and colorful deal makers in America today. He's a former chief executive of cable giant Telecommunications, Inc. He's also was with AT&T Broadband and, of course, Global Crossing, and we'll get him to give us the disclaimer on that in just a minute. He's the author of the brand-new book, The Biggest Game of All. Currently, he's the chairman and CEO of YES. It's a regional sports broadcasting network. Leo, welcome to the show.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us, and I'm really getting into your book and enjoying it. And I want to congratulate you. I know this is your first one. It's like birthing a child, I guess. As close to birthing a child as a guy will ever get, I guess, huh?
Well, the gestation period is about the same as well, and the agony at the end is right up there.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Leo. I mentioned Global Crossing. And my audience has heard me talk. They've read about Global Crossing, and they've heard me talk about it a little bit on the show. And in the infamous category, I said that I would allow you to give us your disclaimer.
Well, the disclaimer, Jim, is that I was actually chief executive of Global Crossing only for about 6 months in the year 2000, before any of the concerns that your listeners have arose. I had actually been chief executive of a company called Global Center, which Global Crossing was the primary shareholder of. Mm-hmm. And when its Global Crossing CEO stepped down for 6 months, I stepped in as his interim successor. Mm-hmm. My connection with the company was primarily the internet piece, quite distant from Global Crossing, and what connection I did have was, as I said, way back in 2000 for about 6 months.
Could you see some of the things coming? Could you see?
You know,
is that the reason you got the heck out of there?
Well, you know, I did have some insight to it.
Tell the audience. There are people who may not exactly know what happened. Remind the audience what happened.
Well, in 1996, Congress passed a seminal piece of consumer legislation called the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which brought a lot of opportunity and potentially a lot of competition into telecommunications. The problem with it, Jim, is that nobody sat down thoughtfully and figured out how many should show up at the dance.
Right.
And hundreds of companies were formed. The exact number was 500 telecom companies in 36 months. Mm-hmm. And there just wasn't enough room for all of that activity.
You can't slice a pie that thin, can you?
No, that pie was cut and smashed. And what happened is that everybody's aspirations in the space were noble and standing alone, but they were in conflict with other people's business mm-hmm. plans. And so you had a real crushing time in this U.S. economy beginning in really middle to latter part of 2001 all through 2002 when this excess of competition just crushed the financial markets.
And what you don't hear a lot of people talking about, Leo, today is how much of those kinds of deals that you saw and that you were in the middle of back in the late 90s, many of them that you saw went bad, that we're still paying for today, really, aren't we, in the economy?
Well, you're paying for it in the same way, Jim, that the Japanese economy is 17 years later still paying mm-hmm. for its mistakes. When you enter into a period of excess capacity, and the U.S. economy has that at almost every level, airlines, telecom, commercial real estate. There's almost no part of the U.S. economy that's not overbuilt.
Right.
You use your balance sheets and your debt to finance those endeavors, and even when the problem is long past, you still owe the banker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this economy in 2003, in large part, is still just taking such a hit every morning.
The one of the classic examples of that is WorldCom.
Well, WorldCom, I mean, it enormous amounts of debt. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to miss your forecasts and see your share price go down, but if you miss your forecasts and those were built on debt, Jim, the cancer goes on for years. And
well,
in Japan,
unless you're in a small business, and it doesn't take very long for that. That's more like a shotgun blast than a cancer for a small business.
Well, you know, one of the things I admire about your show is you're one of the few in the nation who really does represent the interests of the small business owner. Their access to debt, to financing, has been dramatically restricted because of the failures of the WorldComs.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because my audience has heard me say that before. They've heard me complaining about how much we've been hurt by all this, with the inability to get the money that we need. And yet, as you know, small business is being trusted with more and more of the economy through the outsourcing.
The thing that breaks your heart is that if you look at the robustness of this economy, and if you also try to figure out how it gets back on its feet, it is the small and medium-sized business owner. And I am sad that this administration is giving benefits and opportunity to wealthy individuals without paying attention to the needs of the small and medium-sized business owner.
Yeah, and that's a story for another day. We'll have to get you back and discuss that a little bit more. That's an interesting perspective. Talk to us about some of the what's the biggest deal that you've seen that you saw put together that had so much promise originally, and now it looks like basically a dog. What's the best example you can think of?
Well, I think you have to, if you're being frank, you'd have to say that AT&T's acquisition of TCI and Media One, while conceptually solid, the execution was so poor.
Now those were deals that basically you put together,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah, I was on the sell side, and I say in the book, and I try to write it, Jim, in a way that people who have the opportunity to read it might, you know, gain something for their own careers. You can't just have vision and courage. You do have to run these things at the end of the day. And so often, we, and all of us on your show, we do it every day, you get so excited by the process that you lose sight of what the outcome was supposed to be. And AT&T, with a lot of courage and, to be frank, a lot of vision, put its foot in a big way into the cable industry. But then it functioned like old AT&T. It collected all the marbles, but then it never played the game. And so it's ironic that the deal that I'm most proud of for my shareholders proved to be something less than attractive for the AT&T shareholders.
Yeah. Stand by. Leo Henry, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's the author of The Biggest Game in Town. I'm sorry, The Biggest Game of All, available wherever books are sold. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when it comes out, which comes out, I should say, every week, and it comes out by email. So check it out when you get a chance at jbsba.com. Leo Henry Jr. is our guest and our new friend. He's the author of The Biggest Game of All, The Inside Strategies, Tactics, and Temperaments That Make Great Dealmakers Great. And folks, one of the things that I like about Leo's book is it's honest. And Leo, I want to congratulate you on that. And it's a very honest portrayal of what's happened over the last several years in the marketplace. And small business owners can learn a lot from our big business cousins. And Leo's laid a lot of that out for us in the book here. Also, Leo, you've listed what you call the 10 commandments of deal making, and I want to talk about those in just a minute. But before we do, I want to tell you that in the 90s, small business owners were watching you guys, and we were seeing, you know, all of the people getting rich, and the AOL Time Warner deal, the Chrysler Daimler deal, and all these deals being put together, and we saw people building all this wealth, and we really didn't understand what was going on. And we thought, Leo, I think there was a time when we thought, you know, maybe we're doing something wrong. But now that a lot of those deals have kind of fallen through, many of them, the bloom is off the rose of many of them, you know, I think maybe small business owners have been a little bit vindicated, because we have to live with the deals we put together.
Well, you do, and I think the comments you make, Jim, are really clever and well said. There are a couple of reasons to do a deal. Something about your business is so tired that you just have to do a deal to change yourself to survive into the future. Another reason to do a deal is you're just on the edge of an economy of scale, but you're not there yet, and so you really do enhance your profitability, your success, by coming together with a like-minded, similarly operated entity. The third reason, and the reason that some deals do fail, is it's all ego.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of adrenaline in the deal-making side, as I try to point out in the book. And if the adrenaline leads to a transaction that's to the benefit of employees and shareholders, then it's adrenaline well spent.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the commandments, so to speak, that I do comment on is this need to walk away at some point from a deal that's not working out in negotiation the way it should. And yet that's hard to do because of adrenaline. So some of the deals that I am concerned about that I do talk about in the book, I don't think much happened. I think you didn't change your company positively. Mm-hmm. You perhaps already had an economy of scale and not much really came together. You take Daimler and Chrysler, that those two companies, albeit in the automobile industry, were so different culturally. And they were both so significant in their own right that really not much happened from an economy of scale, and the personality clash was just legend.
Yeah, exactly.
Just legend.
Books will be written about that issue, won't it?
Yeah, you do have to, you know, I said a moment ago, you do have to have vision and courage, but at the end of the day, the only measure is it a well-run, profitable, successful business for employees and shareholders?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is some of the great vision and some of the great creativity, some of the great courage, it doesn't really work in execution.
One of the things you say in your book is big deals are about one thing and one thing only, improvement. Now, what shouldn't you have actually said there, successful big deals? Because we know, as you have noted, I should say, some deals were put together that weren't about improvement. They were just about ego.
Yeah. If there's not improvement out there, then your listeners are absolutely right on the screws. It can be just about selfish behavior. It can be about compensation. It can be about adrenaline. But in neither of those instances or any of those instances is it about successful outcomes for employees and shareholders.
One of the things I've said for years is the closest thing that a business gets to making a Molotov cocktail is when we blend excessive ego and excessive leverage together. You get a bomb that's just waiting to go off.
Oh, you do.
And WorldCom is a perfect example, I think, of that, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, it was just, in hindsight, it was just a charade, as was Enron. Just a charade.
We got about a minute, Leo, before we have to go and let you go off to other things. And you've agreed to come back on the show, and I want to thank you for that. So we'll have a lot of other conversations that we'll have in the future. But before you do, I wanted you to comment quickly on the first commandment of the Leo Hendry Ten Commandments of Deal Making. The first one is do more homework than the other guy.
You know, it sounds obvious, Jim, and yet it's one that is often overlooked, is if you're better prepared and you're willing to work harder, you will always be successful. It's amazing to me how well thought of people can sit across from an adversary or a competitor or whatever and just have their clock cleaned by that individual's...
Maybe from a smaller company.
You bet. Preparedness and diligence, this willingness to work harder than the person sitting across from you. And I do have a commandment further down that you're only as good as the women and men around you.
Right.
Follow that one, too, because it's a team effort for sure.
Leo, we're going to get you back and talk about more of these. Congratulations on your book. It's available wherever books are sold, folks. It's The Biggest Game of All by Leo Hendry, Jr. Thank you, Leo.
Jim, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Steve Chandler. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.